The Blueprint with Chris Phillips on Jazz FM. Listening Colour.
Soul Bearings from Soweto Kinch from the brand new album called Nonogram. Soweto, welcome, sir.
Good to be here.
Good Thanks. To have you back at Jazz FM. Another new album, a self-release.
Yeah, I'm keeping that thing going there.
Yeah. Self-releasing. You've spoken before about the sort of dark forces in the music industry.
Yeah.
Let's elaborate on that, because it's one of my favourite topics. Before we get into the state of jazz and hip-hop.
Yeah, no doubt. The murkier aspects of the music industry. I think this is kind of a development from some of the things I was considering on The Legend of Mike Smith, where I was looking at the nature of sin. With this album, I'm looking at sound as healing, and it's taken its inspiration from the number 9, from numbers in general, from the fact that we can't see maths, but we know it's sort of affecting us all around. And it's the same with music. It's got this sort of sinister power, but in the right hands, it can be tremendously powerful for healing and for expanding people's consciousness.
Nine, the number 9, Nonogram, the nonagon. What's the magic of 9 here?
Well, there are 3 threes in 9. There's so many different ways in which 9 is quite a magical number, if you like. You could take the fact that it's invisible in some senses. If you add any number to 9, using the digital root system, it always comes back to the number that you started with. So 5 plus 9 equals 14, 1 plus 4 equals 5, you're back at 5. There are some properties with the way that we measure angles in circles. So 360, if you use the digital root system, 3 plus 6 equals 0 equals 9, slice it in half, 180 degrees, etc., 45 degrees, they always add up to 9. And I feel like metaphorically that's quite powerful. I think there are sometimes cultures and people that are invisible and yet essential at the same time.
Mathematics has played a big role in jazz at times, hasn't it?
Absolutely.
I mean, I'm thinking particularly for, that M-bass movement, Steve Coleman and his incredible sort of polyrhythms on top of polyrhythms.
Absolutely.
Are you a big fan of that approach to the music as well? Because I know this is not a sort of M-bass sound. This is very much you doing your thing.
Absolutely. Very much inspired still by what Steve and, of course, Greg Osby, Steve Williamson in this country, tremendous contributions to, I guess, codifying a new way of appreciating, a new frameworks for improvising as well. And even though we've reached sometimes different conclusions, I think the inspiration is really similar. Steve Coleman particularly is really interested in Egyptology as well, and trying to decode ancient ways in which song could still resonate with us today. And that's very much a project that I'm on. I think the parallel there is that, what we're talking about as well, dark forces. There's always a sort of elite who have secret knowledge that's really esoteric and hard to penetrate. This, I want it to be complex subjects, but disseminated in a really democratic way. Like, you just find yourself grooving and shaking your booty to a tune that's in 5/4. There's something quite subversive about that.
Being a self-released artist and with a self-released album, I mean, it enables you to be as creative as you like, I guess. I would have said that the dark forces in the music industry are not the ones with knowledge, the ones that do not possess the knowledge or the heart for that.
Mm. Yeah, I think it's all about framing, isn't it? It's all about the narratives. It's the fact that we often, as the masses, just don't know what's out there, because what's presented as the full panoply of music is far from that. But now we've got the internet, haven't we? And we've got self-releasing musicians, much like myself, putting their own narratives out there into the mainstream, disrupting.
Art and science, they come together occasionally. I mean, they're a beautiful bedfellow, aren't they, in a way, because they kind of assist one another.
Yeah, and we live in a very binaric, polarized culture where we like to categorize different practices. But the truth is, there's something immensely creative about the mathematical process, discovering new formulae, trying out new hypotheses, something very artistic about that. And vice versa, particularly in jazz, there is definitely formulae and maths and numbers that underpin why we find something fascinating or compelling or not. And interestingly, it tends to be not symmetry or predictably, mathematical formulae that sound good. It's the things that are slightly off-center, There's a sort of grey area that isn't often celebrated in science, and I think this album is one way of exploring that.
The album comes out on the 29th of October. On that particular day, you've got a big celebration as well at the Roundhouse in Camden. We'll talk more about that in just a moment. But let's play something else from the album Nonogram, and this is the numerically 7ly here on Jazz FM. Thank you. Yes, that is Seven Lee from Nonogram. New album from Soweto Kinch, which is out next Saturday, the 29th of October. As we speak here, you're getting ready for that particular gig at the Roundhouse. Again, there's a round shape, the Roundhouse. You're talking about this nine-sided wheel, Nonogram. What's the plan for the show at the Roundhouse?
In contrast to my previous shows where I talk a lot more and lead people on a journey with words and with lyrics, this is going to feel like hopefully a sonic bath. People just kind of walk into this world and it starts almost as two suites, you know, two full-length suites. So it's a slight departure from my normal performance style.
You obviously, the last album, it was very vocalized with the Mike Smith thing. This is very much more an instrumental album, isn't
Absolutely.
It? But you do drop into the old hip hop, boom bap, a bit of the 4/4, and spit some bars, as they like to say. All of the vernacular. It's years spent working for that other radio station. I mean, you know, let's talk about hip hop because I watched a beautiful sort of retro piece done by Rodney P.
Yeah,
and you could
brilliant.
See. Did you see?
The hip-hop news, the hip-hop world news.
Yeah, it? Although awesome. It felt like 10, 15 years a little bit late, but...
Almost, yeah.
The emotion in it really started to... It evoked to me what I loved about hip-hop is the same as what I feel about jazz at the moment, is that it's a unifying voice. You know, no matter who you are, where you come from, it says something.
Well, that same feeling, it was classic seeing him so moved. Big up Rodney P, if he's ever listening as well. I'm a massive fan and a good friend. But when he got really emotional watching meeting Chuck D and... That I made a connection going to the Public Enemy concert just a year and a half ago when they came to Reading, I think it was awesome. And the fact that there were so many people mid-40s above and younger, like, you know, who were moved by that music so profoundly across racial, cultural, economic lines, it says that there is something that's not 10 years too late, actually still 10 years ahead of its time.
Yourself, I mean, as a hip-hop fan, how do you feel about the state of hip-hop at the moment? I mean...
There's some incredibly talented MCs coming through, and it's been the case for the past couple of years. Chance the Rapper, Joey Badass, Kendrick Lamar, that's just in America. Dope MCs over here. You know, I'm so proud of what Skepta did with the Mercury this year, the kind of groundswell of popular MCs, Stormzy and stuff that's coming from the ground up that seems again to have its own momentum that's not funded by the mainstream, and that's quite interesting.
Kamasi Washington and his movement. But you've been doing this thing for years and years.
Oh yeah, some of the cats in his band, you know, I've been jamming with. Big up Ronald Bruner and, you know, some of the guys who have been
Thundercat
been the sound beneath his band and Kendrick's as well.
Well, it's fascinating talking to you and you're getting your insight, even though you're suffering. We've got a herbal tea to get that cough out the way there. But the Roundhouse next Saturday, and then I know you're going to do the Hidden Rooms in Cambridge for the Jazz Festival there on the 24th of November. See Soweto Kinch and doing some great things on the radio, I must say, sir, with BBC Radio 3 there. Do you enjoy being a broadcaster as well as an artist? Is something that you
certainly do, actually.
Improvise with the same way?
I really do enjoy being a broadcaster. I think as a practitioner, you sometimes get stuck in your own, you know, tunnel vision way of doing things, your own silo. And this has been good to hear other people's practice, other musicians from the complete, you know, opposite ends sometimes of the jazz family. And it's such a broad church. You can listen to a Tor Gustavsson in the same show as a Branford Marsalis. And to hear not just the music, but the philosophy that informs it is tremendously inspiring. I think it's going to keep me fresh. And I'll be stealing everyone's good ideas. So I'll come up with the best jazz album in the world in about 2 years' time.
All right. Soweto Kinch and the brilliant album Nonogram out next week. It's been a pleasure talking to you again.
Likewise. Thank you.
Here on The Blueprint. Let's play another one from the album. This is Waved.